Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Cliff Burke. Cliff is the founder of Agile Griffin. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mustafa.
So prior to founding Agile Griffin, can you give us a brief background on what you've been up to?
Yeah, well, of course I have a long history, but very briefly, I had a successful IT services company in the late 1990s, early 2000s, and we were early adopters of Agile methods. I've written some books about use of Agile methods for architecture, and I've been involved in the Agile community since then. And you know, I've often looked at the Agile movement kind of from the lens of, you know, having done a lot of those practices in the past. And my concern has always been that they're being oversimplified. The human element of Agile is, and using those ideas properly, is very complex. Too often it's simplified as a few maxims or extremes. And really, in order to achieve agility, and especially agility at scale, requires a lot of thought and experience and experimentation and also application of ideas from leadership and organization design. And there's a huge technology element as well. So my quest has been to try and bring balance to the industry. Recently, we launched something called Agile 2, which tries to inject a little bit more nuance and context into Agile thinking. And it's been doing extremely well. We have huge uptake and access to the website. There's a book coming out through Wiley. It's really seems to have resonated and struck a chord with the Agile and IT community.
Got it. So now keeping the conversation relevant to today's times, you know, COVID, unfortunate times because of COVID, but now if you were to correlate Agile and COVID, have you seen the shift that you've been advocating for the last 2 decades move exponentially and how to go forward, you know, especially for traditional companies that have been very hesitant towards newer things, you know?
Well, that's interesting, Mustafa. Because I do feel that COVID has kind of created a watershed moment. And in fact, me and colleagues have been thinking about Agile 2 for some years and monitoring the community and what the community has been saying about Agile. And we've seen a waxing kind of discontent coming. It used to be discontent came from people who just didn't understand the ideas, which is normal. But today it's coming from people who do understand the ideas, and their basic message is around, well, there are core ideas in Agile that are really powerful and really good, but they're being misused, and there are also a lot of things missing, and there are a few things that aren't quite right either. Now, COVID really has put to test one of the core Agile maxims, which is that you have to have face-to-face communication, which most people interpret as in-person communication, although it doesn't have to be. And you know, working remotely, it has shown that it can work really well for some people. But on the other hand, it doesn't work well for other people. Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, recently said that he sees absolutely no value in remote work. On the other hand, GitHub, which has an entirely remote workforce, has done surveys about it, and they find that it's extremely effective and people work remotely very well. So I think it depends who you ask, and there's definitely a personality factor involved. So I think going forward, we're going to have to be sensitive to the idea that people aren't all the same. We're going to have, instead of a factory-like model for work, where everybody works in the same way, in the same place, at the same time, we're gonna have to have a more heterogeneous approach that enables people to accommodate the needs of their life and how they work best and how they collaborate best and somehow be a little bit more flexible.
Got it. So when it comes down to, okay, finance, you know, so finance, insurance, banking, they've been the least receptive towards these methodologies. Do you think they would be able to apply the same methods, or for them a different version of agile methods would come in?
Well, they're historically very conservative. You know, they tend to be clustered in major metropolitan areas, which, you know, generally are fairly, you know, conservative in terms, at least in terms of money and in terms of work and how work is done. I used to work in New York, and everybody wore a suit all the time. I wore a suit. People in New York still wear suits. The rest of the country, they don't. So they hold on to tradition because it displays kind of, it instills confidence that, you know, these people are serious, and, you know, they're trying their best to be professional. So there's a cultural element there. But I think trends are inevitable. I think that remote work is, it's not a blip. I think it's really here to stay, because if you look at, you know, I did an experiment in the late 1990s where I asked people if they thought that they'd be reading books on their computer. And almost everybody said, why would I read a book on my computer? That's so awful. I can't carry my computer around. No one's ever going to do that. And I even wrote a letter to the CEO of Barnes & Noble. This was in 1997, and said, you know, bookstores are at risk. You really need to change your model and make it more of a kind of community experience and enrichment experience. And, you know, 10 years later, bookstores are massively in trouble. We don't even have a bookstore where I live in Reston anymore, except for an old used bookstore. If I want to go to a bookstore, I have to go to the next town over. So people often can't visualize the change. And what they don't realize is what's coming. In 10 years, people are going to have wall-sized displays, like literally wall size applied as wallpaper. So, you know, to see family and friends, you'll want to see them in person. But for business meetings, are you going to go across town or farther for every business meeting when you can just click you know, a button and be able to see someone life size on your wall? Mm-hmm. People aren't going to bother. They're not going to. So it's inevitable. It's inexorable. Is it going to happen next year? I don't know, but it's happening.
I think it's already happening for me. You know, I feel like Zoom or these video calls, it's kind of like become a layer. You know, you used to have a phone call. Then after a phone call, you used to be like, okay, let's meet for coffee. Then email came and you used to exchange a few, 3-4 emails. And after 4 emails, you used to be like, okay, let's meet for coffee. But I think a new layer has developed. You exchange 4 emails. After those 4 emails, you jump on a Zoom call. You have 2 right. Zoom calls. And then you decide whether you want to meet or not. So it's kind of like a layer has been added where you can decide whether you want to meet in person or not, which is good. It's saving everyone time, you know.
It's true. But also, you know, work is more global now. You know, for Agile 2, we had 15 people. And they're in Australia, in India, in Vietnam, the UK, they're all over the place. And, you know, we actually were not able to have group Zoom calls because of time zones. But we did have individual Zoom calls. I had several Zoom calls with every participant. Others had Zoom calls with each other.
Sure.
But, you know, I remember having a Zoom call with one of our group, Murray Robinson. He's in Australia. And it was amazing, the clarity and the no noticeable latency at all. I could see him in high definition, and he's in Australia. It was nighttime for me, morning for him. I could see everything on his backyard and talking in real time perfectly.
Sure.
So I'm not going to fly to Australia to meet him, even at layer 6. Maybe if I'll probably drag my wife along and make a vacation if I do.
If she drags you along, she convinces you. So I'm really enjoying this podcast, but, you know, as a marketing thing, we have to keep them within 8 to 12 minutes. I think we'll have it full-fledged workshop with you. We do workshops once every 3 weeks. So they're longer ones, you know, 1 hour ones. So we'll definitely do one. So, which brings me to my last question, you know. Three pieces of advice that you would give to mid-sized companies or young companies. So when companies from that have passed the early stage startup stage, I would say between Series A to Series C, companies between 20 to 200 people, right? Headcount. So what practices they can adapt better in terms of agile methods?
Especially a lot of companies get stuck at 20, 30 people because that's the bottleneck phase where the leaders cannot have their hands in everything anymore.
Yeah.
And the biggest challenge in this is something that we tried to address with Agile too, because one of the big problems with the original Agile movement is it kind of dismisses the whole issue of leadership. It was kind of a rejection. I know this for a fact that this is what they were thinking. They were rejecting and pushing back on, you know, authority hierarchies and oppressive managers who just told everybody what to do and didn't explain themselves and didn't ask for input. You know, and it really was a rejection of that. But it went, you know, the culture of the Agile community went to the opposite extreme. Leadership is absolutely essential, the right kinds of leadership. And so a growing organization needs to think long and hard about different leadership models and the leadership culture that they want to grow within their organization, because you need to grow other leaders. In order to be able to scale and delegate with confidence, you need other leaders who act as good leaders. And so the question is, what is a good leader? And there's more than one kind. And they're you know, within any group, there are many different kinds of leaders. Some of them have authority and some don't. But there are many different leadership activities going on. It's really important to think that through and try and explicitly encourage that and make sure that have a process for identifying the right kinds of leaders instead of just saying, oh, that person looks like a leader, put them in charge. That creates a toxic environment and it stifles your ability to grow because then you're not getting the true ability of all the people under them. So the number, you asked for three things. The number one thing and the number two thing and the number three thing is leadership. What's good? What does good leadership look like? And how do you encourage that and grow that within your organization?
That's somewhat like similar to where to buy real estate. What to look for, top three pieces of advice when it comes
location,
down to
location, location,
location, location, location. Okay, guys, it's all about leadership, leadership, leadership. You have to have it. Oh, I get that. Thank you, Cliff. I'm sorry we have to cut it short. I'm really enjoying the podcast, but it's like marketing strategy. You know, they just cut it off.
But
we'll definitely have a longer calls with you, a workshop, a proper workshop on Agile 2.0. Thank you so much for
being here. I look forward to it. Thank you, Mustafa. Have a good day.